before the Lord, He will lift you up. Let's pray. Father, Lord, may you humble us, Lord. Let us surrender all to you in everything, Lord, in our thinking and our actions, Lord, in all that we do and say. Lord, may we humble ourselves that you might have the preeminence, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us in all truth. And Lord, we thank you for the sweetness of your Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the songs of worship and praise and honor to your lovely name. Lord, may you just guide us now in the furtherance of this service, Lord, that you would speak to us by your word. Lord, that you would bless each one, and especially those that are out, Lord. The sickness tonight, Lord, we just ask that you would visit each one, Lord, that you would move out every symptom. Lord, let your blessings be upon them. Lord, not just here among us, but out across the world, Lord, your bride, wherever she is. Lord, strengthen her. Touch her, Lord, day by day. Lord, as we thank you and praise you, we commit all to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. So good to be here. Good to see each one. And we just appreciate the, you know, we really do feel bad that we have so much sickness among us. But we thank the Lord kind of shake things up sometime. And so we appreciate Sister Emily playing and Brother Goomba singing, and so each one having their part. I sit back there and I could just hear the singing and the rejoicing, and I just thank God for it. And when I hear the Swahili, and I think we're about outnumbered tonight on Swahili versus English, and so but when I hear it, it brings back, it brings such good memories to me of Kenya and those days there. And yeah, I missed last year, and so I'd been going every year for a long time, and so I really missed it. So I'm really looking forward to the trip this year and to the meetings there and having some good fellowship. And if the Lord willing, we'd really like to be able to jump over and be with Brother Daniel, Brother Benjamin, those, Brother Israel, those brethren there, Brother John Paul in India, if it's possible, if the Lord will give us the time and the financing for it, we'd just like to do that. And so you be praying for us, and also for Brother Goomba. I know he's would really like to spend some more time, a little extra time there with the ministry that he has, and the people, the pull with the people. And so we know that God's able to open every door, and we just want to commit it to Him, that He'll just have His way. And so now tonight, now we had a service today. Brother Joshua invited us to minister on the capstone group, and so we did that this morning. And we had Sister Edith was in, Sister Rhonda was in, and so there was so many. Brother Goomba, it's been a long time since I had joined in on the Zoom with them. And I tell you, most of the people that were on there, I didn't know them. They were new to me. And so it's been a while, but there's people here in the U.S. There was a sister in Indiana. There was people in several countries in Africa, some ministers, brethren, different ones, some in across maybe Sri Lanka, India, Pakistan. There was a lot of people, and I knew a few of them. I know Brother Rohan, but some of the other ones I didn't know. I'd never met them or heard of them. And so I was really happy. The work that Brother Joshua has done there, it's been, he's really stuck with it. He's really been faithful to it. And there's a good many of the believers there that are supporting that work. And so we thank God for that, and we appreciate the invitation to minister to them. And this morning we talked about maturing in the Word, And so I just changed the title a little bit tonight. We're still talking about the same thing, but also going with what we were talking on Sunday. It's in the same lines there. It's the word maturing, the word unfolding, the word coming down in this last day. God's been building. He's been building a great drama, and He's bringing it in every age. He adds another scene, another piece of the drama, another piece of the puzzle, another scene of God revealing Himself and drawing His people and just bringing forth that part of the revelation for that day. And so this, for us, is the greatest time. And we know that, and we just all we can do is thank God that we have the privilege to be now, to be this part of it and to see these great things. And that's the thing we don't want to miss. We don't want to miss. We don't want to just let it become common and think, you know, nothing's going on. There's something great going on. There's something great always with God. Something great is going on. And sometimes we're looking for flashing lights and shiny stuff. That's not it. And I'm telling you, that's not it. We just read in the devotions last night where God called Elijah there after he did the supernatural, and he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot, and then Jezebel comes out and threatens him, and he runs for his life. He runs for his life, and so that when the anointing was on him, he was superhuman. I mean, he was just beyond. And then coming back to himself, it put the fear in him. But God was using him in such a great way. And I was going to say something else and it just slipped my mind. But some of the things that God was doing through him, and it was really powerful. And it was really God just bringing forth something for that age and for that people, for that time. And he brought a judgment upon them for rejecting it. And so that's going to come back to me in a minute. But let me just begin here. And so this is in a message called The Fundamental Foundation for Faith. This was preached in Chicago. And this was way back in 55. And Brother Branham said a lot of good things in here. And so this is part of it that I didn't read this morning. And so I just put that in and then continued on the thought. So at verse 12, if God designed man's body, and he did, and Brother Branham said that he designed it perfectly, every part of it, he said that he made it perfect for you to move and operate. He gave you feet, he gave you arms, he gave you eyes, he gave you nose, a mouth, teeth, everything that he gave you, he made it perfect for you to do all that you needed to do. And you do it without even thinking. You do it, you're not even conscious of what you're doing many times. It's just like that. It's just a natural reaction. When you're eating or something, you don't sit there and say, okay, now, hand, poke that piece of meat and pick it up, open your mouth now, put it in the mouth, okay, now chew, right? Chew on the back, then chew on the, you know, rip it with the front and chew on the back and do this. No, it's all natural. Amen. You've matured. Maybe if you watch a little baby when they're learning sometime and they see the fork coming at them and they're like, they're not coordinated yet. It hasn't become natural yet. And so they're trying. They're trying to get it. They're trying to get their mouth open. And they're trying to get it in the right place. And you love to watch that because you see them growing. You see them maturing. But where you're at now, you take no thought. You take no thought for it whatsoever because it's become a natural thing. It's unconscious. You just do it. And so that's what Brother Branham said about faith, and that's what we read that part this morning. So I'm just saying it now, since I'd already read that. But he said, faith is an unconscious thing. When it becomes real to you, then you just do it without even thinking about it. And to me, that just confirms more so that it's not you that it's God is the one that's doing it. He's the one that's moving you. He's the one that's revealing it to you. And so he's the author and finisher of the whole thing. And so you're just moving in. When you get matured in him and you get in that place where it's no more you, you're just able to yield yourself to him, and then he's able to just move. And you just go, you go with the flow. Amen. See, if he designed the man's body, he certainly designed the body of his son, the church. He's talking about the body of Christ. And he's designed us to come together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we have these supernatural workings of God, outlets. Brother Ben's calling this outlets. These supernatural workings are outlets. It's ways that God has to express himself and to express his power and to reveal himself, all of these different things. See, through gifts of the Spirit, such as prophecy and wisdom and knowledge and gifts of healing, all these other different gifts is outlets that God lets out his power and lets out his revelation to the people. That's God has a way of getting the revelation out there and showing forth his power and vindicating the promise of the day. Amen. And so it's a beautiful thing. And so it's a more beautiful thing when we're able to recognize it and yield ourselves to it and not let it become common or not let it go unrecognized as the people of the world do. Amen. See, now, not so much. Now, I really like this statement, and I think it means a lot to us. And not as an individual so much. Think about this. But as a unit, we're all together one great body of believers. Now, that is something we need to strive for. Amen. In our life. It's something we should strive for as a group. As a group right here, and as a group, as a part of the body of Jesus Christ, made up of every nation and every tongue and every kindred. That is what we should be recognizing, that it's not all together just an individual. Although we are, and God reveals himself as individuals to the Gentiles, but yet it's a body. Yes, sir. It's a body of Jesus Christ, and we're all a part of it. And when we recognize that, then it's not one of us is bigger than the other and one of us more important than the other. It's none of that. It's that everyone has a part, a place in that body. And every part of it, if it's hands, if it's fingers, whatever it is, every one of them has an important place. Every one of them has a movement. Every one of them has something to do or something to say. Something, some part of the body. And when we were talking about that the other day, I was thinking of the woman one time on Sunday. I was thinking about the woman that Brother Branham, she come to Brother Branham and she just felt like she wasn't doing anything for the Lord. She just felt insufficient. And so I don't know if she had a business ironing for people or she just had a lot of ironing for her family, whatever it was. But so Brother Branham told her, he said, here's what you do. He said, you want to do something for the Lord? Said she'd spend hours a day ironing. And so he said, when you're ironing, he said, every piece of cloth that you iron, he said, during those however many minutes that takes, you pick a person and you pray for that person. And he said, when you finish that, you take the next piece of cloth, another person. Said, you pray. He gave her something. She wanted to do something for God. And it's something that nobody knows about. Nobody would recognize. No credit being given. Just something between her and God that is taking place. And you can be sure God will bless her. And if God wants to lift her up, if God wants to let that be seen, God will do it. She don't have to do it. She don't have to go to church and say, you know, I've been praying and praying. I prayed for this one and that one and that. You don't have to do that. God will lift you up. When you lift yourself up, then you're going to be abased. That's what the scripture said. When you come in, take the lower seat. Let God be the one to lift you up. And so she wanted something, and sometimes we feel unworthy. We feel like we're not doing nothing. But God, if we can just let whatever little thing it is that He wants, like we talked about the doormat, whatever it is, let us be that little insignificant thing, and He will get glory and honor out of it. See, but as a unit, we're all together, one great body of believers. And how do we get into this body? The mystic body of the Lord Jesus. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into this body. Praise be to God. So that makes us one. It makes us one body. It makes us one unit. It makes us one family. As I was telling you about, I met that little group of people there in Nairobi from Texas, and how they seen another white person, and it just felt like family. You know, they've been walking all day long, and they ain't seen another white person. And so they seen me, and they thought, this is a great thing. And this is how it is with believers. Amen. This is how it is with believers. That's how it was with that brother on the bus. When he heard me witnessing to this other guy, and he said, oh, we're brothers. We believe the same thing. And that's how it is for every one of us. No matter what country, no matter what color, no matter rich or poor or educated or no education, we're one because we have something in common. The most important thing in the world, we have the same Father. We have the same Father, and He's revealing this great thing to us. Praise God. We're so just so blessed. See? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into this body. Now, Satan, by the laws of sin and death, makes everything that sin and death bought operate to Satan. See, to Satan, sin's a cancer. Now, let me read that again. I think I'm messing it up. See, now Satan, by the laws of sin and death, makes everything that sin and death bought operate to Satan. Sin's a cancer. Well, it just sounds off. So, the man recognized it and received it. Now, I don't know if I maybe I accidentally deleted something out of there or not, but what he's saying is that Satan, by the law of sin and death, brings cancer. He brings sickness. Like we got all this sickness. Satan brings these different things, and here's the problem. Man recognizes it, and man receives it, okay? Right, because since the fall, we've lost our consciousness of that oneness with God. What Adam had that oneness. Adam didn't think about this now. Adam did not have to think about tree be moved over there. He didn't have to think about wind, slow down. Wind, speed up. Amen. Do this, do that. He did it unconsciously. If he was walking along and there was a tree in his way and he didn't want to go around, he'd say, move over. And it just was over. It just was done. Yes. Unconsciously. He was 100% in complete control of the earth. Amen. Huh? Yes. 100% complete control of the earth. Brother Branham, when we read it this morning, Brother Branham said, He was God over the earth. Now that's a powerful place to be. And the earth was in complete control. His complete control. Now, let me ask you something. Has that repeated in this day? Has that repeated in this day? Is there a man that walked in flesh in this day with this, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Word of God, who spoke to the storm and told it to stop, told it to go away, told it that the sun would shine for the next 4 days. What you do after that, I don't care. But for the next 4 days, the sun will shine and there'll be no snow. Control. He spoke and said, I need a squirrel. There's no squirrels here. I want a squirrel. I want a young gray, red, or young, was it a gray or a red squirrel? Whatever it was, he wanted a young squirrel. And he said, he no more than spoke it, and there it was. He said, there it was. And said, he did it again. He did it again. And then he said, now this time, I'm going to sure enough make it ridiculous. And there was a sycamore tree there, and squirrels don't like sycamore trees. They don't go in them. And he said, said just exactly what this squirrel was going to do, how it was going to come down, do this, jump on a post, do this, 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 and here it come. Yes, sir. So he spoke, here it come. Adam had complete control. God showed us the same thing in this day that we live in. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? If Satan, by his power, can make his laws work in man, how much more ought God, with his power, make his laws work in man? If Satan can make his laws, be sure and us recognize it. Is that right? Satan's law of sin and death, we recognize it. And we can get caught in that. And we were born in that. See? How much more ought God, to his children, make his laws be recognized among his people of divine healing and revelation and power and gifts and manifestations of the Spirit of God. It was perfectly working in Adam. It was perfectly working. Everything complete. Brother Rand said complete control. Yes. Everything that was on the earth, everything about the earth was in his complete control. Amen. That is a pretty powerful place to be. And Brother Branham said that Calvary restored that. Calvary paid the price for that. Amen. And that thing has been working, and that thing has been maturing. It's been growing and maturing in the bride, in the elect. And it has come to this day to full maturity. It's come to that place where a man, a redeemed man, a man born by sex, redeemed by God, was able to stand in flesh and speak what had not been done since the beginning, the foundation of the world. He was able to speak and create where there was nothing. Where there was nothing, he spoke and it was there. He didn't take something and change it. He didn't take something to multiply it. He absolutely spoke creation into existence in this day. The law of sin and death works in the people, and the law of liberty of Christ has come unto us to set us free from those things. So I believe with all of my heart, I believe that we're nearing the age that when people are going to recognize these things, I believe that too. I think this was in January of 1963, right before the opening of the seals. And Brother Branham knew, and these supernatural things have been happening. He knew, he'd already preached Church of Just a Time, right at the end of 62, and now here, this is actually the next month. This is January, so I think he was like, was it December 29th or something like that? He preached, Serves Is This a Time. So all of these things were right in the making now. All of these things were fixing to climax and come to pass. And he's telling it. He said, I believe that we're nearing the age that when people are going to recognize these things, that we've had so much vain philosophy, and so much, so forth, and teachings that ought not to be, until it has set the human mind to a revolution of thinking on matters of this and that, and thinking and taking it away from the Word of God. That's what's wrong. See? As I've said, listen, faith doesn't come by fasting. Faith doesn't come by praying. Faith doesn't come by reading a book. All of that's good. Listen, all of it's good. Praying, fasting, studying, reading, All of that's good. All of that's great. But that's not what brings faith. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is freely given to you. Faith is something that God gives you, and it just comes when you least expect it. God just does it. And he does it right through you. All of that's good. Fasting and praying and reading. See, by faith, but faith comes by a settled something that's in the human heart. Huh? That tells you, just as sure as you come to this church tonight, when you come home, you told your wife you'd be home after the service was over, you do that unconsciously. What's he saying? That Michael left Amanda at home tonight, and he told her, I'll see you after church. Now, when he leaves here, he will unconsciously, without thinking about it, without studying it, without praying about it, without thinking, okay, how am I going to do this? Amen. He's not going to have none of that. He's going to unconsciously say goodbye, walk out that door, walk out to his vehicle, get in, start it up, and drive away. He's not thinking about, as he's walking out there, well, I hope it cranks up. I hope it's going to get me home. I hope it's going to do this. Not doing none of that. Amen. Absolutely walking out there with the faith that all he's got to do is that he's going home. That's all. He's only thinking about, I'm going home. In 3 minutes, I'm going to be at my house. Faith is something that God puts in you. See, when you told your wife you'd be home after the service was over, you do that unconsciously. And you just go out and you get in your car and you go on home. Now, you couldn't do it unless you have faith that you could do it. See, you would never move from where you're sitting. If you didn't have faith, you could raise up. See, but you've done it so much. You just become so accustomed to those laws till it's a natural thing. See, just as he was saying, it's a natural thing on the other side. Before you were born again, it was a natural thing for you to believe every lie that Satan told you. Every time a symptom come along, and sometimes you can't overcome those symptoms. It takes a bit of time, but you know that God's going to deliver you. No matter what, God's going to deliver you. But now, when those symptoms comes, you begin to speak. You begin to refuse those symptoms. And so, and sometimes it's a test that we go through. Yes, and I was thinking about Sister Amanda was testifying last week how God delivered her of some things, and how that she was rebuking Satan and giving it back. And, you know, you look, we got 3-4 people out right now with sickness. Sometimes Satan don't like what God's doing in our midst, and he jumps on our back. Sometimes he jumps on our back, and sometimes we have no control over that, but we know we have a consolation that God is in control. And if this is a little test, we're okay. We're okay for it. We know he's in control. We know this is going to move out, that God is going to get glory from this. And this is only going to make us more sure. It's going to make us more positive. It's going to build our faith. It's going to be greater than it was before. And so that whatever Satan thinks that he's doing, then he's going to find out this only strengthened us. This didn't weaken us. It strengthened us. See, 14. Now, if we could throw ourselves completely to God and to his will and be lost to our own thoughts and just let the mind of Christ be in us, see, them same operations of the Spirit would work through us just as the natural thing does. See, just the same thing. So because we were first created for that purpose, to control, to rule, and to praise God, and to live for God. Amen. What was Adam created for? He said first, we were first created. Amen. What was he created for? To control, to rule, to praise God, Amen. To live for God. Amen. What was Adam doing? He was controlling.
Yes.
Whatever he said, that's how it was. He was in full control. God made him to be in control. God made you to be in control. God made you. That's your nature.
Right.
Especially for the man. The man is the masculine part. He made him to be the head of something. He made him to be in charge of something. Because we were first created for that purpose, to control, to rule, to praise God, and to live for God. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. That's right. Now the Father and his word is inseparable, because the Son, because the word is his Son. Huh? The Father and the Word is inseparable because the Word is His Son. How about that? So when the Father sends His Word, He's sending the Son, isn't He? Huh? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There it is, right there. The Son is the Word. God and His Word is inseparable. And you cannot have God without having His Word. And when you have His Word, you have God.
Amen.
When you have the Word, you have God. You are in the presence of God. The Evening Messenger. This is that message was 1955 and I was confusing it with this. I'm sorry. This is the Evening Messenger. It was 63. It was January of 63, just a couple of weeks after message serves this a time. Now, we believe, as the church, that the gospel has been just about completed. What a statement. This is the things that was working on the prophet at this time. He knew that things were happening. When he preached that message, sir, this isn't time, it shook him up. It shook the people up. It shook everything up. We believe that the great messengers through the ages has in these last several hundred years, has fought for these great things. The justification by faith, Luther, sanctification by Wesley, the baptism of the Holy Ghost by the Pentecostals. We believe that those elements goes to make up the complete body. The what? The complete body. What's it been doing all the time? Building a body.
Yes.
It's been building a body. So that's what he's talking about. That's that unity he was talking about in this other message that we read from. He's talking not so much about individuals. Not so much just about this day that we're living in. But about the whole thing. The big picture of what God has been doing, from beginning to end, He was building a body. He was building a masterpiece. He was manifesting Himself. Every piece of the body, every manifestation, every part of it was revealing Himself.
Amen.
Praise be to God. I don't know if everybody believes that, but from the very beginning, from Adam and Eve all the way to where we're at right now, everything from there to here to everything in between was revealing Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Was revealing God on the earth. Every bit of it.
That's right.
You can't mark anything of it off. You can't say this part wasn't, this part was, this was, that was. No, 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 no. Every bit of it was Him. For His glory, for His honor, to bring forth His character, His nature, all that He is, it was being manifested piece by piece, word by word by word by word, bringing forth, coming forth now, building this great body. We believe that those elements goes up to make the complete body, like the natural and the spiritual. When a baby's born normally, what's the first thing? The first thing it breaks is water. The next is the blood. The next is the life. See? And what he said, when that thing is forming, Brother Branham said, they say it forms in the spine, and then it just begins building, building, building. What's it doing? It's maturing. And it's maturing towards a place to bring forth a birth. And then when it's birthed, then that body begins to mature once it has breath. So, paragraph 61, 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are one. And you can't have the Father without having the Son. You can't have the Son without having the Holy Ghost. See? They are one. But there are three bear record in the earth. The water, the blood, and the spirit. And they agree in one. They're not one, but they agree in one. See? Now, you can be justified without being sanctified. Now, why has he lost his subject here? Has he changed subjects? Or is he showing us something? He's showing in the birth that there's a maturing. He's showing now in the revelation of justification, of sanctification, of baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's showing the maturing of it. He's showing it growing and growing and growing, maturing, just like that wheat plant. It's bringing forth, coming all the time, moving toward maturity. Now, you can be justified without being sanctified. And you can be sanctified without having the Holy Ghost. And see, the Holy Ghost is the indwelling presence of Christ's power in spirit. Now, see, that the natural types the spirit. So the church is in its complete maturity now. And just think, this is before the seals. He's already starting to declare these things. Now, we know this grew. We know this revelation grew. We know there was something greater that was coming. Not just the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but the true token came forth. But he's telling us here, he's identifying that you could be justified and not be sanctified. How could that be? Because it hadn't matured to sanctification. Now, you could be sanctified and not have the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it had not matured into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now, what we didn't know at that time was that it was going to continue to mature into the literal life of Jesus Christ living in the bride in this day. There was still yet another step was going to bring it to perfection. So the indwelling presence of Christ's power in spirit. See, so the church is in its complete maturity now. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. We just come through the seven church ages at home, typing that out beautifully. See, that was the church ages were complete. The church ages were mature. They were all that they were going to be. Every bit of it, the for justification, sanctification, the returning of the gifts, all of it now had been returned back. All of it was in the church. The church was mature. The church was finished. And now was coming forth the bride. Now was coming forth that final step was going to be Christ himself. And by the way, has anybody heard them tapes on the church ages? Now he's going back. Now he's going back now. He's at the seals now, but he wants to go back and said he wants to point out something when this thing was coming up. Heard them tapes on the church ages? On the last time I had those ages drawn out there on the blackboard, and the Heavenly Father knows that this is true. When I completed it with the best I could, under the inspiration that God would give me, that the angel of the Lord that you see in the picture, many have seen it, seen that picture, haven't you? That light, it came right down in the room before about 300 or 400 people, and it went right over on the side of the wall as a light like that, and it drawed those church ages by itself. We all stood there looking at it, watched it draw the first church age, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. Huh? The hand of God come right down, vindicating the presence of God, vindicating the day, vindicating the hour, right there, that it was time for these things. Praise be to God. This is the message of birth pains, and Brother Branham had just, he was talking about the lily, the pond lily. I don't know. Do you know what that is in Kenya? Do they have that? They have pond lily, brother? Do you know that one? Okay, yeah. So it's when there's a certain kind of flower, and it's down in the mud and the muck and the mire, and the sun begins to work upon that seed, and that thing begins to come up from down in the mud beneath, and it begins to draw it up and draw it up and draw it up. And when it comes up and it opens up, and it's the most beautiful flower, and it's just laying on top of the water. And it's usually in like a stagnant pond or something like that. It's just there, and it's just beautiful. And so Brother Branham talks about it. And he said, the lily, he said, consider it, how it grows, how it toils, has to bring itself up. This little pond lily, look where it come through. The dirt, the muck, the mud, the muddy waters, the dirty waters. It's pressed its way through all of that. This little germ of life, working itself from the bottom of the pond, where the frogs and things are at, and then it brings it up through all of that. But when it gets in the presence of the sun, it's born. Huh? That seed's coming up. But when it gets up there and it gets in the presence of the sun, then it's born. And that little seed burst open into life. And it cannot do that until it goes through all of that process. It's got to come through that. That's what makes it, see, is because that the sun itself is what's drawing it. Now, if you put that right in the spiritual, you put it right in the spiritual, you know that it types perfectly, exactly. And I know this isn't nothing that you don't know. I know that that it's so simple. But I just feel like that sometime it's good to remind us that some of these struggles is what makes us strong. Some of the hard places is what's building that character. It's those things that we're going through that brings out the beauty. And it's coming, it's God drawing you into his presence to manifest that character, that nature of himself. See, it's got to come through that. That's what makes it, is because that the sun itself is what's drawing it. And when it gets fully above all the dirty waters and the muck and so forth, then it's so happy. It just gives its life out freely. And it's a beautiful life when it gets in the presence of that which is drawing it up. Praise be to God. That's the bride. That's the elect right there. It's a beautiful life when it gets in the presence of that thing that has drawn it into its presence. I think that's a beautiful type of Christian life. When something is drawing you out of the world until one day you're born right in its presence by the Holy Spirit. How beautiful. If you try to help it, you'll kill it. Huh? Huh. Sarah tried to help it, didn't she? She tried to help it and it messed the whole thing up. And it's still a mess over there. It's still a mess. That's the reason they're constantly at war, constantly battling, battling, battling. Amen. Is because what Sarah did. If you try to help it, you will kill it. Listen, he's got a type for that too. Like a little chicken when it's being born. You know, if you ever notice one of the little fellas right on top of this little beak, see any bird that's born from an egg? See, it's maturing. This old eggshell, see, the inner parts of the eggs has to rot away. And it has to take its little beak and scrape back and forth until it breaks the shell out. And we call it pipping its way out. See, down in Kentucky, where I come from, pipping his way out. They've never found a better way, see? See? And why it's God's provided way, you try to help him and you'll kill him. Why? Because he needs to build that strength. He needs that maturing. He needs that struggle. That struggle is what makes him strong.
Yes.
Praise be to God. See, if you pick the shell off of him, he'll die. See, he's got to labor and strain and break forth. That's why Peter said that we will rejoice in the fiery trials. We'll rejoice in it. We'll thank God for it. That's the way a Christian has to do. It ain't somebody just shaking your hand, taking you in. You got to lay there till you die and rot and are born into the kingdom of God. It's God's provided way. You don't go in by book or handshake or join and pump up, pull it down, pump up and pull down. You just simply have to get away from the old shell. See? No better way have they ever found. That's right. No better way. Oh, my. So, I think we're going to read one more here. We definitely not going to finish, but this is in Marriage and Divorce. And I put a little bit extra here, more than what is the thought that we're talking about. I had a brother, one of the brethren from overseas. I don't know if it was Pakistan or Sri Lanka. I think it was one of them, but somewhere we mentioned marriage and divorce or polygamy, and so he was asking about it, and so I didn't have plans to preach on it anytime soon, but since I was crossing this, I just thought I would read it, and so let's just read it. Paragraph 252. Notice he can put away his wife anytime he wants to. But she can't put him away. He can make me. He can throw me in the dust any time he takes a notion to. But, oh, brother, I better never try to throw him there. I'm finished. Solomon could marry any woman that wasn't married. He could marry any woman, any woman he wanted to. The priest could marry only a woman that was a virgin. See? Like David. He married, what was her name? Abigail. Which... there was a man called a fool. He had a nice wife, and he died. And Abigail was married to David. He was a king, not a priest, see, and he married. So, but a priest could not do that because he had touched or got a woman to be his wife that had already been some man's wife. So that shows the virginity of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride will have to be the unadulterated, the Word. Not one word missing anywhere. Think about that. Certainly. Could you imagine a correct bride, one breast off, and the other one something wrong? See, you know, there's not going to be the bride of Christ. That's not going to be the bride of Christ. She's perfect. She's everything the Word. Not one word failing anywhere. No, that's right. See? Notice, he can put her away, but she cannot put him away. He did it and has proved it. In the days when Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, when they refused, listen to this, when they refused to become the further part of him by having spiritual, sexual affair to become pregnated with the further part of the Word. What part of the Word? The furtherance, the maturing of it, the coming forth of the fullness of the promise in this day. See? They refused it. You understand? She refused. The Lutheran church refused for Christ to have any more desire with her. Luther refused it. And let me say this, you're going to call me something anyhow. So is it today with every one of them. They fail to take that word. They refuse Christ. That's right. They refuse it. And so just for the record here, throwing it out here because the brother had asked me the question. Solomon had 1,000 wives. David had 500. How could they do that? Because they were made in the image of God.
Amen.
And the Christ has a many-membered wife.
Yes, sir.
He just has one, but it's many members. And so David had one wife until he took another man's wife, and it was many-membered. And so because of the fall, that is what introduced more than one.
Amen.
One man and many women. One buck and many does. One rooster and many hens. That's where God introduced it. That's where it came. And as long as children are coming forth by sex, it's here, and it'll be here until that's done away. The sex law by polygamy. And any woman that refuses a man his child has no right to be a wife to him. Amen. You remember in the Bible when the king married Esther, because the queen refused, he just got him another one. See what happened? When she refused to come out with the king and obey him, the same thing it is with the woman that refuses to be a wife to her husband. That's right. Huh? So is it with the church that refuses to become pregnated in the age that we now live in. Not just this, every age, when the furtherance of the word come, when the maturing of the word come, to refuse that was to refuse Christ.
Yes,
it was to leave the presence of God. It was to leave the anointed word of the age.
Amen.
Let me read it again. We're closing with this. And so is it with the church that refuses to become pregnated in the age that we now live in, to bring forth children of this age. We're not Lutherans, we're not Wesleys, and neither are we Pentecostals. So who are we?
Amen.
Who are we then? If we're not the Pentecostals, who are we? This is the bride age. This is the rapture age. This is the climax age. See? We've got to be the children of this age through the pregnancy of the Word of God to bring forth a child of this age, the seed child.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Amen. I hope you understand. Couldn't be pregnated, no. So what did he do? Put her away. In divorcement, that's right. But she dares him to put him away. He put her away. And he went right on revealing his word to the body. To who? The body. That's right. And vindicating him, saying by himself, his children, I like this, his children begin to kind of look more like him.
Amen.
Why? Because it's fully maturing.
Amen.
See, they become children of the word, not children of the church.
Amen.
See, children of the word. That's what was wrong back there. That's why it wasn't a clear picture. But now it's looking more like him. Now it's come to the perfect image. Now the veil has been taken off of him, and it's a mirror. The bride is looking at him. He's looking at her. They are one and the self-same thing. And the bride will be a lovely lady of the word, unadulterated, not touched by any man's organization, by any man's theory. She'll be purely unadulterated bride of the word. Amen, amen. I hope you get that. Out on the air, she will be the pregnated daughter of God. Amen. To bring forth him. That's right. Oh my. Praise be to his name. Let us stand. And we thank God that we see the climax of this thing. We see the maturing of this thing that God has been doing all along.
Amen.
And we thank him. We thank him for the privilege. We thank him for the revelation of it. We thank him that we can be a part of that manifestation in this day. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise you. We do appreciate your blessings and your mercy and grace. We thank you for your word. We thank you for revelation. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your healing. And Lord, we claim it for each one of our sisters and our brothers, Lord, Cameron there. And Lord, may you just deliver each one. Lord, we thank you. Lord, knowing that by your stripes, we're already healed. We thank you for the things you've done for Brother Goomba and for Brother Benjamin. And Lord, the different ones. And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor. Lord, you know every heart, every need. For it's with thanksgiving we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So God bless you as we're dismissed in the name of